Hi, I'm Anita O'Brien, and I'm the Executive Director of Rochester Adaptive Adventures, and this is your Assistive Technology Update.
Hi, this is Wade Wingler with the Endata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in Indiana with your Assistive Technology Update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist people with disabilities and special needs. Welcome to episode number 267 of Assistive Technology Update. It's scheduled to be released on July 8th of 2016. Today, I have a great conversation on adaptive cycling and paddling with Anita O'Brien, who's the executive director of the Rochester Accessible Adventures. Also, we've got a story about how computers are using words to better identify objects and pictures, and a segment with Audrey Hill where she talks about how the U.S. federal political scene is impacting the world of assistive technology. We hope you'll check out our website at www.easterseelstech.com. Send us a note on Twitter at InDataProject or give us a buzz on our listener line. We always love to have your feedback. That number is 317-721-7124. I'm fascinated by an article that has the title, Computer Vision System Studies Word Use to Recognize Objects It Has Never Seen Before. There are a couple of researchers at a Disney research, and we've had some Disney researchers on our show before. One is named Leonid Seagull, and the other is Yanwei Fu. And what they're doing is trying to figure out how to get computers to recognize objects a little more quickly with a little more efficiency. Now, it's not new that computers can recognize objects and tell you what they are. And in the past, that process has typically involved taking lots and lots of pictures of objects and then having the computer look at the commonalities or similarities between those objects and make some guesses, educated guesses about what those objects might be. So, for example, you might look at a red apple and then extrapolate that a yellow apple is still an apple, even though they're different colors. Well, what these researchers do are relying on language and words to describe them. So they might describe instead of an apple, they might describe an elongated apple, which would be a pear. Rather than relying on an image of a pear, they would rely on an image of an apple and describe it as elongated. Another example that struck me was talking about automobiles. Maybe you can teach the computer what a car or a truck is, but then use words to describe an SUV so the computer can extrapolate a picture of a car or a truck and then use the words taller or longer to figure out that it's an SUV or a bus. The article is fairly technical and gets kind of in-depth about how this process works and is very fascinating. It also has a link over to Disney Research's published article about this process they're going through. So, you know, in our world of assistive technology, object recognition is a big deal for a lot of folks, but probably most importantly, for people who are blind or visually impaired or otherwise can't recognize objects. So these developments in technology really get me excited. So because of that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes and you can go and check out this article about computers using words to better understand pictures and objects. Check our show notes. Does this sound familiar?
That was your Accessibility Minute for this week. I'm Laura Metcalf with the InData Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in Indiana.
That's the voice of our own Laura Metcalf, who is not only the host of Accessibility Minute, one of our other podcasts, she is one of the primary authors of our assistive technology blog that you can find over at easterseelstech.com. Laura was recently featured in a blog by Bookshare. The title reads, Indiana Assistive Technology Expert Finds Gem in Bookshare. It includes a great picture and the six reasons that Laura recommends Bookshare and how that has impacted her life and why she thinks Bookshare is a great thing for folks with disabilities. I'm going to pop a link in the show notes so that you can go over and see Laura's smiling face and read her blog post over on the Bookshare blog. Check our show notes. It's time for On the Hill with Audrey. Audrey Bush is the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Association of Assistive Technology Act Programs. In her update, she lets us know how the power of politics is impacting people with disabilities and their use of assistive technology. Learn more about Audrey and her work at ataporg.org, ataporg.org.
This is Audrey Bush, Policy and Advocacy Director for the Association of Assistive Technology Act Programs, coming to you with your monthly Washington update. The countdown to a long congressional recess has started, with Congress scheduled to head out of town for about 6 weeks starting July 15th. While Congress typically recesses for the entire month of August, this year they had to make room for two national conventions for the presidential elections. Therefore, the third week in July, the Republicans will host their convention, followed by the Democrats the next week. The remaining time in August will be the typical month-long congressional recess. Given there is not much time until the July 15th deadline, Congress is working to pass as many of the remaining appropriations bills as possible. The bill that funds most disability programs, the Labor, Health, and Human Services funding bill, was passed out of the Senate's Appropriations Committee in June, and the House is now scheduled to consider their bill on Thursday, July 7th. Hopefully, programs that impact people with disabilities will be protected in the House's bill, and all disability advocates are keeping their fingers crossed that this is the case. Once Congress returns in September, they will need to find a way to keep the government running past the expiration of fiscal year 2016, which will take place on September 30th. Because Congress has not come close to passing a final FY 2017 budget, it's highly likely that a continuing resolution will be passed, which will level fund the federal government at fiscal year 2016 levels. How long this CR will preside is unclear, and between it being an election year and many other sensitive political issues that are at play with this year's budget, there is no telling what might happen exactly. Other interesting points to note, however, are that the Departments of Labor and Education issued their final rules regarding the implementation of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act that was passed in 2014. While the implementation of the changes in this reauthorization are well underway at the state level, these regulations will put in stone what these changes should entail and look like on the ground. Additionally, Congress is beginning to consider a reauthorization of the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Act. The goal of disability advocates with this bill will be to ensure students with disabilities are provided with the appropriate accommodations when accessing such career and technical education programs. So while Congress is preparing to jettison out of town starting July 15th, they are trying to move through as many items as possible in order to make their to-do list as short as possible when they return in September. So stay tuned to next month to hear what was accomplished in July. And until then, stay cool.
A quick editorial note before we jump into the interview. The group that we interviewed today has since changed its name from Rochester Adaptive Adventures to Rochester Accessible Adventures. So if you see a discrepancy between what we say in the interview and what you might notice in the show notes, it's because the name changed. And their new website, by the way, is rochesteraccessibleadventures.org. Now, here's the interview. It's hot. It's that time of year here in the U.S. when I'm looking for a shady spot or some wind to blow in my hair or some water to get in and cruise around on. Which is why I'm excited today that we're going to be talking with Anita O'Brien, who is the executive director at the Adaptive Paddling and Cycling Center, which is part of Rochester Adaptive Adventures in Rochester, New York. So before we do that, Anita, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you.
So thank you, Anita, for taking some time out of your day. I'm so excited to talk with you today because I'm somebody who has enjoyed cycling and enjoys being out on the water, whether it's a big boat or a little boat or just in the water, especially in the summertime. And I'm really interested in what you folks are doing there when it comes to the adaptive side of paddling and cycling at Rochester Adaptive Adventures. So why don't we start off by you telling me a little bit about you and your background and how you became interested in adaptive sports, and then I'll ask you about the programs there.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thanks for the invitation to be here today. So I have to say, there was a moment after I had graduated from college when I was still uncertain what I wanted to do. A mentor of mine told me he had seen me the day before at a pool. Well, I knew he was joking because I hadn't been in a pool then, but he was so serious. He said, "Yes, I did. You were in the pool with a person with a disability helping him swim." And I can remember my jaw dropping and saying, "You can do that? Is that a job? What degree is that?" So that's actually how I found the field of therapeutic recreation, which is my background. And you can find therapeutic recreation specialists in a variety of arenas, from clinical to community settings. And I have to say, it's very fun to work so that others can play. And that's what I've been doing since then. Several different community-based programs and capacities across the years.
That's exciting stuff. So you're in Rochester now, right?
I am in Rochester. I've been here since 2000.
So tell me about the Rochester Adaptive Adventures Center and the APAC. What's going on there?
Sure. So Rochester Adaptive Adventures grew out of these past 20 years or so of my work in the community, working with people with disabilities in recreation. And it's really become clear here in Rochester that we are ready for a leader to kind of move us forward in ensuring that at our community level, that we have facilities, equipment, and training, such that our community is operating accessibly and inclusively as possible. And so that's what RAA is about. We have a three-pronged approach for addressing this systemic need for access to recreation. One of those is we're a regional resource center. As you know, outreach is very key to making sure that individuals with disabilities and their families find the resources they need. And so we're connected to medical centers, service providers, community leaders, and that all helps with spreading the word. Secondly, we also support adaptive sports teams and athletes. And these folks are a brand of their own. They travel, they compete, they operate uniquely. And we understand and value that and want to ensure here in Rochester that those sports opportunities are available and sustainable for a long time, both recreationally and competitively. And then thirdly, we facilitate the APAC, the Adaptive Paddling and Cycling Center. And I'll tell you a little bit about what goes on there. The APAC is really the model of how we're approaching our work as we envision an accessible community. I tell you, I've worked within a program model in the past, one where adaptive equipment is available, you know, maybe once a week during the summer or perhaps at training clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've come to clearly see is that it would be truly a model of access and inclusion if people could just access that adaptive equipment just as the standard equipment is available. And so when I think of it, I think, well, if I didn't have a bike or a kayak, what would I do? I would either go buy one or I would rent one. And so with the APAC, that's what we're doing. We're operationalizing that kind of access. And we're doing it through a partnership with a for-profit business called Erie Canal Boat Company. I've been working with the owner there for probably much of the past 9 years,
mm-hmm.
installing a Hoyer lift on his docks, reworking how some of the docks are structured, having adaptive clinics and trainings. And now we're rolling out our partnership formally through RAA so that he will kind of implement all those best practices and have him operate his business in an accessible way. And that's really a wonderful step forward from what we in the community have been offering. And it's just a fantastic opportunity for individuals with disabilities and their families really to be able to pick a day and a time that fits their schedule and that they're able to get the equipment and go out and explore the Erie Canal pathway.
Well, you know, I love the sort of the partnership that you have with the boat company there, and I think that's a fascinating thing. You know, I want to talk more about the staff and the program, but for people who haven't been on the Erie Canal or who haven't been in Rochester, paint a picture for me about the setting there.
Sure. So the APAC is actually situated just yards, literally, from the Erie Canal waterway and the pathway, the bike path, pedestrian path. It's in Fairport, New York. Quite beautiful all year round. It's enjoyed by people, both residents and it's also a tourist attraction. So Erie Canal Boat Company has this small landmark hut that's situated just there on the shore between the two pathways. And actually people can view that on our APAC video on the website later if they'd like. But you'll see it with parking just behind the pathways. It's very easily accessible from start to finish. And so at that location, we'll have both cycles and kayaks. They can be reserved ahead of time online or phone or walk-up basis. And so that's where that's kind of the setting for where we're going to be operating.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds like a great place to spend some time.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the staffing and the volunteers. So obviously you're one of the professionals there, but who else is making this happen?
So this is actually a great part of this model as well. With the collaboration, both RAA and Erie Canal Boat Company will have trained staff, and those people will be able to assist individuals with either adaptive or standard equipment and with all of the activity that goes along with providing that. And then we do operate, as many nonprofits do, with volunteers, a very critical part of what we're doing. And our volunteers will be trained in assisting at clinics, assessments, rentals, so that the guests would be able to rely on that trained, knowledgeable experience there when they come to check out a kayak or a bike. And also then the volunteers can help with assisting with getting the adaptive equipment on correctly, changing out if it needs to, modifying, even with the actual riding out or going out on the paddle. We're going to have some volunteers that will be trained to do that as a companion and be able to, you know, keep track of time and distance while they're out and provide general safety and comfort while the person's out there. So that'll be our team.
That sounds fascinating. So let's talk about the participants, people presumably with disabilities. Who are these folks and what kind of disabilities are we typically talking about?
Sure. So participants, well, most generally speaking, participants will now be a greater portion of the community than has ever been targeted before. Specifically, we will target individuals with disabilities, and these may range in diagnosis from spinal cord injury, brain injury and stroke, multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, lupus, many neuromuscular diseases, spina bifida, other developmental and intellectual disabilities. You know, really, there's a tremendous number of diagnoses that result in an individual that can benefit from adaptive equipment. And you know, it's really where somebody is able to continue participation because now they would have greater stability or safety, feeling confident, and actually gives them greater ability to perform as well. And so that's a fun part of this new model of operation because we can target families. Families where there is someone with a disability and they're passionate about recreating together, and we'll be able to go and do that now.
So it sounds like there's a lot of opportunities for assistive technology, and of course, that's what our show is about here. So tell me a little bit about some of the specific kinds of adaptations or assistive technology that are involved, whether it's on the water or on the canal or on the path there.
Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, there's so many different types of bodies that will be able to access these, and the equipment is key to that. And what we found really is maybe the hardest part is just getting out there and trying, you know, trying it out, finding out what fits, which can be difficult. Sometimes I know people who come to us and say, well, my doctor said I wouldn't ever, you know, do X, Y, and Z again, so I don't think I can do this. And, you know, what we can do with adaptations is pretty wonderful. So with the assistive technology that's available, there's not much keeping people back these days. So generally for us, there are three common adaptations in cycling. And one of the simplest adaptations that helps the greatest number of people gain access to riding again is a three-wheeled bike. Three wheels add a tremendous amount of security and safety, so that balance, focus, attention, muscle weakness, or fatigue don't have to be the primary concern that someone has when they're going out cycling. You know, I think the standard bike, and when you have to stop and put your foot down, that really becomes a pretty critical piece of it. Yeah. And with a three-wheel bike, you just don't have to worry about that part. So that's one. Second, there's a device called the Mono-Mono, and that piece can be added to a trike's handlebars and allows for one-handed control. And it truly gives a person the ability to control steering, the braking, the gear shifting, all with the one hand. And it's interchangeable for left or right-handed control. And that has been really wonderful, for instance, for people who've had a stroke and have one-sided weakness, because we can attach that and off they go with their strong side, you know, pedaling down the canal. So a third one, we see quite a few people that have paralysis where the leg power may not be able to sustain them if they're pushing with their feet. Mm-hmm. So a hand cycle is great for them. And it allows them to sit with their feet supported, but they actually do the pushing with hand pedals. And there's so many varieties of styles now that it actually makes it fun for shopping and seeing what fits you best in terms of support and style, or, you know, what seating arrangement you're in, if you're leaning back or sitting straight up. There's just so many options with that. So those are three for cycling. And with kayaking, the most common need is actually stability. And that can be accomplished in a variety of ways. Our fleet has a couple of different types of boats for accommodating. One is an open boat with the seat and the foot area that are essentially carved out so that there's a kind of a natural dump position, which becomes very stable. You can paddle these solo, or you can get a larger boat, a tandem option, which actually helps with stability as well. Other boats provide us with the ability to put in modified seats that give greater torso support to someone. And so that's an important factor. And then newer equipment arrivals that we'll have will allow people with hand grip modifications on the paddle to lend them greater power and stability as they're paddling. So that's going to be wonderful. Sometimes just being able to hold the paddle in a sustained position or generate enough power through the shoulders, these grip modifications help with that. And then additionally, for someone who really wants that extra security and certainty, those people will relish the use of outriggers. And so the outriggers can be attached on either side of the kayak to provide that much more stability. So those are some of the assistive technology pieces that we're using.
No, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad that you went through some of those very practical examples. So I know I have listeners here who are thinking, wow, this is great. And maybe I need to go on vacation this summer to Rochester to try this out. But I also know that a lot of my audience isn't in the New York area. So what advice would you have for people who listen to this and say, oh, that's great, I want to learn more about adaptive paddling and adaptive cycling, but they're not in the New York area? What advice would you have for them?
So I have to say, first of all, come to Rochester. The Erie Canal is a historic landmark. You can actually travel up and down it from Albany to Buffalo, and we're there in the Rochester area. So definitely do that. But it, in general, it's a pretty exciting time, I think, in the world of recreation, both with the upswing in technological advancement in the assistive technology and the rise of social media, where knowledge can be shared, you know, in a heartbeat, in just a minute. And I find that generally there's not much stopping people. On one level, I do think it's tremendously hard because our communities haven't caught up with our level of knowledge and ability, and that can be difficult to navigate. But I have to say, if you want inspiration and you can enter the online world and start poking around, you will find people with disabilities are skydiving, riding motorcycles, utilizing skateboard parks with wheelchairs, playing sports with no arms or legs. There's an incredible number of off-road terrain wheelchairs for getting out into the wilderness areas or the off-road terrain. They're sailing around continents with sip and puff mechanisms. You can play golf sitting, standing, with or without sight. You know, I've seen people rappelling mountains with their wheelchairs, kayaking with one hand. So it's, for me, I think the advice is start exploring online as an inspiration, and then start looking around and saying, so what could we do here more closely to my hometown? So.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. So we're getting close on time here, but I know you have an event coming up. I'd love to hear about that. And I also am interested in what's in your crystal ball for the APAC.
Sure. So our event is going to be in mid-July, and that's really our grand opening for the APAC there in Fairport. And we're excited about it's going to be a weekend extravaganza with lots of time for people to come and do hands-on accessing boats, accessing bikes, very social time. So we're excited about that event. And in terms of my crystal ball, Well, whenever I consult it, my crystal ball shows me that really things here in Rochester, the timing is right. We're getting lots of requests from medical centers, from school teachers, from agencies that work with people with specific disabilities. I'm getting a lot of engagement on Facebook and Twitter, and I see a huge trend towards demand for recreational and sport opportunities. And, you know, so I see RAA as poised to kind of roll out our model of working in the community and addressing these opportunities. For me, it's exciting. It's a new adventure. And there's really nothing like our tagline, which is inspiring hope and improving ability. So I encourage everybody to join in with us as we pursue that.
And if people wanted to learn more about what's going on there at the APAC or get more specifics about your mid-July event, or if they wanted to reach out to you, what contact information would you suggest?
So people can connect with me through a couple different avenues. Our website is perhaps one of the main ones, www.rochesteradaptiveadventures.org. And on there, you'll find videos about the APAC, videos about RAA in general, as well as a number of the other services and outreach efforts that we're involved in, and information on the July event. I'm also on Facebook at Rochester Adaptive Adventures, and if you're a Twitter user, I'm at RAA Adventures. So, and I'd love to hear from people and get connected.
Anita O'Brien is the Executive Director of Rochester Adaptive Adventures and the Adaptive Paddling and Cycling Center. We've been calling it the APAC. Anita, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Wade. It's been a pleasure.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on Assistive Technology Update? Call our listener line at 317-721-7124. Shoot us a note on Twitter at Indata Project, or check us out on Facebook. Looking for a transcript or show notes from today's show? Head on over to www.easterseelstech.com. Assistive Technology Update is a proud member of the Accessibility Channel. Find more shows like this, plus much more, over at accessibilitychannel.com. That was your Assistive Technology Update. I'm Wade Wingler with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in Indiana.